Right. Well, we're back on another beautiful Sunday here. I think the weather's finally turned. Rides are really starting to happen. I got out. How many Maybird rides did you do this last weekend?
How many Maybird rides did I do last
Yeah,
weekend?
it seems like you were on two or three, weren't you?
Oh, last week I did a Maybird ride almost every day, but Saturday we did like a big one. Got like around 40 miles and 6,500 feet of climbing, and I was just teaching the kids how to go slow.
Sweet. Well, I'm excited for this one today. We have another guest. I can't believe we got him. You wouldn't believe the fee he asked for, but it's worth every penny. We have a bona fide local legend and recently engaged man, Gabe Norda, on the podcast. Gabe, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating since last summer, about 8 months. We were friends for a few months before that, so.
Super cool. Gabe, I've given the other guests just a second to like introduce yourself in whatever direction you want. Maybe give us a little bit of background on your cycling history, of course, but like how do you introduce yourself to people like at a party?
At a party, I'd probably introduce myself as kind of who I am. I like to spend time outside, ride mountain bikes. Someone like you guys, I'd introduce myself saying I started racing bikes when I was like 5 or 6 in BMX. And then when I was 10, 11, somewhere in there, started mountain biking and racing right away and turned into history after that. Never stopped.
That's awesome. And you recently returned from an LDS mission in Texas, right?
Yeah, so I started in Texas in 2020. I was there for about 13 months, and then I finished in Uruguay for about
Oh, that's
10 more months.
right.
Yeah.
Interesting. That experience must have been interesting doing that during COVID, especially. Like, did that, because I know that a lot of people kind of like, ride bikes, like around here, they ride bikes and then they go on a mission, and a lot of them stay in the sport and a lot of them don't. Was there ever a moment where you were like kind of deciding, like, do I want to get back into racing or am I kind of done with this or?
Yeah, I was always like, when I get back, I don't know how serious I want to take it. We'll kind of just see where life goes. Always wanted to go to school and work. And so I'm still kind of in that same boat, just ride when I can. But on my mission, I hardly rode. There were about 2 weeks where I touched a bike, and that was it. Other than that, I didn't even have one. So it was kind of hard to be away for so long, but it was a sweet reunion when I got back for sure.
Well, I'm really excited to hear more about your story, Gabe. I'm going to jump in. We've got a couple of announcements to hit just really quick. The bike, big, like world bike racing is back. So I'm going to hit on that. But before I do, Dan, just a couple of like maybe local things you want to go over.
Yeah, we've got quite a few local things to go over. A lot of people have been doing some cool races and doing some cool things that we just want to shout out. So the first one, and we probably should have mentioned this last week, but we didn't. But we had a lot of riders do the 6 hours at Frog Hollow, and a super cool result was Eli Ferdner, one of Joe's boys. He had a great result. He was only like 16 minutes behind Chris Hawley. And was I think like the top fourth or fifth place in the solo open men's.
Really?
Yeah, it was super cool result. But I just quickly, before the podcast though, I just quickly glanced through the result, recognized a whole bunch of names. Sam Johnson was there. He's also a recent return missionary, former Nika legend. Charles Lawrence, Cameron Everett was there. We're going to talk about him a little more in a second. But a really cool and interesting result too is we talk about these guys a lot, but Zoe LeClaire and Quinn Profsky, I believe they took first in the open women's, and my understanding is they had to lie about their age to compete in that category. So these are just super young girls that are just killing it and just love to ride their bikes and are having a lot of fun doing it. So just some super cool representation there. We had three riders out at Fayetteville. Emma Daly, Grant Holzberg, and Nolan Reinberg.
Ryan Bolt, sorry. I guess they all kind of had mechanicals, kind of had a rough weekend, but I think they had a lot of fun, and that's just a cool place to be. But I think that's just so awesome. They were out representing us there. And currently we've got Gabe and Oliver are in Louisiana at the Piney Hills Classic. And
Really?
yeah,
Hmm.
so they're out, and that's a tough race because it's kind of like, it was super, super muddy. They have like several inches of rain in just a few days, and they had to race in the rain and the mud and the roots and rocks and on terrain that's totally different than they're used to. And I don't think they got to do any much pre-riding because of the weather. And so yeah, I think it's awesome they were out representing us there. And I also want to shout Amy Larkin is out in Arizona. She did a 50-mile trail run with her family, big, just a normal weekend for the Larkins kind of thing. There's a
Taking a
big
week off
event.
from all the dancing to get back into
Oh
running.
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Yeah.
all the Western goth dancing. But here's a cool one, and I didn't even know this was happening. I was just kind of flipping through my Strava, and Cameron Everett, who he joined us on when we did that Path Century the other day, and he crushed it. But he, I guess it was his 17th birthday on Saturday, so he decided to add an era a zero to the end of the 17, and he did a 170-mile ride to celebrate his birthday. So I think that's super awesome.
Holy smokes, man. I
Yeah,
was super
so
impressed. He was crushing it on that ride. We were like, 9 hours in climbing the Wasatch Wall, and he was just like, he was right up there with Joe Reinhardt. So very impressive stuff from him. Excited to see where he goes.
yeah, super cool. So
I'm sure you guys probably watched the world if you're done with your local announcements, Dan. I don't know if you guys watched the World Cup. Maripara, Brazil, super, super cool. We had an American win a World Cup, which is awesome. Chris Blevins taking like a really dynamic, exciting victory, beating out Nino, beating out Koretsky. Super, super cool. As exciting as that was for me, though, the women's race, Jenny Risveds, former Swedish national champion, former Olympic champion, came back and won her first World Cup since 2019, which is so, so cool. She's had a really interesting journey over the past few years. Maybe we should go read about it. She's done a few interviews and articles in a few different places on that, but seeing her back at the top was awesome. I also wanted to call out on the road, Amstel Gold was today. And we had one of those kind of interesting cases where somebody celebrates way too early and somebody beats him out on the line. So Lorena Vivas seemed like she had it in the bag, outsprinted everybody, but like 20 meters from the finish, had her hands in the air, and Marianna Vos snuck up from behind, got her by about a wheel, which was interesting. So I don't know if there's a whole lot you can learn from that. I still haven't seen that happen in NICA, but maybe something to be learned from that. Announcements being over though, like obviously the main attraction today is Gabe. I have to say, on a personal level, I remember Gabe. You rode a niner back in the day, right? Like way, way back in the midweek days,
yep,
right?
that was my dad's. He was kind
Okay.
enough to let me race that.
So I remember one of my brothers, I don't know, I think it was probably Anders Racy. He's like, there's this kid that shows up on this niner that looks like it weighs like 40 pounds, and he just crushes every single week. Like, he's like, I think his name's Gabe something, Gabe Nuva or something. And I was like, and then I remember watching, kind of the progression. You had a pretty standout career, even in a state where like there are a lot of standout kids. Like, I mean, you've won some cool races in your time, right?
Yeah, there's been some good races, some bad races, some fun races. It did all start kind of my freshman year of NICA. My dad was letting me race that bike. It looked like it was 40 pounds, I'll give you that, but it was a pretty light bike. It was a fast bike. Started with a couple wins in like the freshman category, surprised myself. time I really just liked riding. Didn't really know how to race, but had a couple good races, couple wins, and kind of took off from there.
That's awesome, man. So Dan's got a whole bunch of like formal questions for I might jump in a little bit, but I Dan showed me the list of questions he wants to go over. Really good stuff. So I'll let you jump into that, Dan.
Well, and so let's just go back to your background a little bit. You race Nika. Like, my favorite Gabe Nordis story was that kind of made him a legend was the one weekend where you did point to point, and then the following week you won a Nika race, which just blew a lot of people's minds. You raced on Summit Development. And then you raced on Bear. You've done a lot of national races. You want to talk just a little bit about that experience a little bit for us?
Yeah, of course. Go back to point to point, like you started. That was always a race that I wanted to do. My dad did it for a few years in a row. And when I was young, like 14, he started dragging me around Park City, and I just loved it. Definitely some of the memories that led me to fall in love with mountain biking. And so I always told myself, when I get the chance, I'm going to race point to point. When I get an off weekend in Nike, I'm going to race point to point. So that was my senior year, race point to point. The next race, I was totally wrecked. It was still a week out, but I was still feeling it for sure. But got lucky, maybe had some good tactics, was able to take the win. And yeah, that was the year I was on Summit National Team. So the year before, I was just like on the development team in 2018. Loopy practices, raced in the kit, no sponsors at the time. And then the next year I applied, was on the national team for 2019. We rode Cannondale, Hyper Threads, POC, Rotor. That was my first year, 17, 18 UCI racing. And it was great. It was super fun, super hard stepping up from 15, 16 to 17, 18. So I rode with them for that year, and I was planning on doing it headed into 2020. Some things kind of fell apart towards the end of 2019, and I missed the application for Bear. But MJ, the team owner of Summit National Team, was kind enough to reach out to Julia, the owner of Bear, and she was kind enough to let me on the team for 2020. Made some room. And we all know 2020 wasn't what we expected, but I got to do like one race with Bear, one national race with Bear, and then COVID hit and kind of shut down everything. But that experience was just as sweet as Summit. Both those teams hold a pretty good place in my heart and always be a fan of them. So.
Awesome. Well, you've got a really cool cycling story, and you're definitely a hero of mine. You're one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and just I think you're just such a good role model for these kids to look up to. And I just have a few questions, and like I mentioned, Gabe really doesn't know exactly where this conversation's going. I mean, he knows kind of vaguely what we're going to be talking about, but I've just got some questions that I wanted to kind of, get a chance to kind of pick Gabe's brain for a little bit. But what my first question is, what part of this sport brings you the most joy?
That's a good question. Honestly, I love exploring. I like to be out away from people. Not that I don't like people, but I just love exploring where it's kind of hard to get to. I like the fitness aspect too. Like, I love long rides, like 6, 7 hour rides where you just really got to dig deep. I love the joy, like the freeness of the sport too. You can get out and go wherever you want, do whatever you want, go as long as you want, as short as you want. And just see cool places. There's so many places, especially here in Utah, where you can ride your bike that it's kind of hard to get there by any other means. But there's so many things to go and do by bike around here. So I've always just loved that.
That's awesome. What part of it has caused, would you say, has caused you the most stress?
Ooh, the most stress. That's a good question too. I've always been the type of person to not ever want to have regrets. And so I know if like I skip a day of training, come race day, I might regret having skipped that day. So if like my day gets busy and I know it's going to be kind of hard to ride, that usually gets a little stressful, knowing that I might miss a day or not be able to ride, miss the gains. Even though a day here and there isn't going to make that big of a difference, a little extra recovery never hurts, but I usually get a little stressed for those reasons.
So I'm interested, like, especially when we talk to really people who have like achieved a lot in the sport. Are you motivated by just by like I want to win? You just like I have a winner's personality. I want to be on the top of the podium as close as I can be to it. Or is it like a more complicated thing that motivates you to get out? Because I think it's interesting when Dan asks like what brings you the most joy in cycling, because there's a lot of parts of cycling that absolutely suck, and it's not for everybody. So like what is it that like why spend the time and the money to do this when you could there's other fun, like video games have been invented, those are fun, bowling's fun, like what is it about this in particular that makes it, because you'll go out and do these like crazy rides out in the cold during the winter, I'll see you out for like 6 hours doing 100 miles and late November, like what's the driving force for you?
Yeah, and that was actually my next question was, what is your motive? What would you say is your motivation?
Yeah, I'd say my motivation isn't just wanting to win. I definitely have a competitive side, and winning's fun. I haven't won a ton of races. I've had good results, but that's not the huge motivating factor for me. I really just love training. I think it's so fun, like intervals, just digging deep, setting PRs. I'm a numbers guy too. Not like a huge geek, but I do like to look at my stats. Power and heart rate, that's super fun. But one of the biggest motivating factors is just getting out and seeing your own personal progress. Like this year hasn't been like super ideal. It's been kind of a busy winter, hard winter, but I still have a couple races on the schedule this year. And so just to see myself progress and kind of aim towards those races and set whatever goals they may be, I've definitely had to change some of my goals this year. But to still see a little progress is definitely what keeps me going. Being able to get out and have fun. Some days it's really hard to get out the door, but I know it's going to be best for me. And as soon as I start riding, I never regret getting out.
So at the end of this season, what would make you look back and say like that was a good season, A plus? How do you decide whether or not you said like this winter was rough, you've got some big goals. What does like success look like for you this year?
Ooh. At the end of the year, if I were to look back and say this year was a success, I usually measure success by how much fun I have. I've kind of let go of results. Like whatever happens, happens at this point. A good result is super cool. But that's not the end for me. My dad, if I ever finished a race and I wasn't super happy, my dad would always say, "We can sell your bikes and buy a soccer ball because if you're not having fun, we can have fun doing something else." And so that's the most important thing to me is if I had fun, then it was a success. If I had fun racing, it was a success. I love racing because it's fun. I have a competitive itch, but that's not the only reason. I train because it's fun and I race because I love it.
So if you got to the end of the season and you won your two, three big races that you're looking for, but you didn't have fun, you'd be like bummed.
Yeah, probably.
Interesting. I mean, not that that's likely to happen, but that's kind of an interesting point because, like, and I think a lot of times, like, if I have had achieved a quarter of what you achieved in your career, I'd feel like I'd like made it. as like a big, you know, like a big, like a big shot or whatever. But it's interesting that that's not like the driving force for you. Or I mean, like you said, it's not a bad thing, and I'm sure you're motivated. I've seen you race. You're obviously like a motivated guy. But you say fun, like, is it like a specific kind of fun you're having on the bike, or do you experience that same kind of fun and joy in other areas in your life?
I mean, I guess racing, there's type two fun and type one fun we talk a lot about in cycling. I love both. Type one fun is like, I just picture ripping some good downhill single track with your friends, just having so much fun. Type two fun, the last 30 miles of a 130 mile ride where you're kind of just suffering. I also love that. But fun for me, like going in back to races, the fun part about racing, I love strategy. I always go into races with goals too, not just to have fun. I want to be my previous self. I want to achieve this, whatever it may be. And so sometimes it's still kind of a bummer when you can't perform the way you want to, or maybe you have a mechanical. But at the end of the day, if you can still have fun, that's a win for me. Like last year at 6 Hours of Frog Hollow, I did it solo and I was feeling super good. I wanted to win it because right before my mission, I won that race. And so I wanted to win it again. And I was in the lead the first two laps and it was super sweet. And then I flatted and I ended up flatting like four times that day. And I was pretty frustrated. Usually that doesn't happen. I don't flat in races all the time, but it just happened to happen four times in one race. And then I was like, okay, whatever. I'll still push towards the end, but I'm just gonna have fun. And I did. It was a great race. Kind of a bummer that I wasn't able to perform to my fullest extent that day because I felt pretty good. But at the end of the day, it was still a fun day on the bike, and I was able to get out, push myself, and have a good time racing with other people. So,
So my next question I was going to ask you is, have you ever gone through a period where the sport wasn't fun for you?
I wouldn't necessarily say a period. There's obviously been days, maybe longer than days, like up to a week where it's not super fun. I always struggle in the winter. Winter's kind of hard here in Utah, unless you can get down to St. George a certain number of times, but it's hard to train here in the winter. But I still try and motivate myself by the whole, like I mentioned before, I don't want to regret not riding throughout the winter when spring comes around and races come again. But sometimes I feel less motivated in a way where it's just kind of hard to get out. But I don't think there's necessarily been a period of time where it's not fun. I can always look forward to when spring rolls around, I'll be able to ride my mountain bike instead of just riding my road or gravel bike out in the wet, salty, iced over roads. So just knowing that it's going to get better keeps it fun.
Do you think that's most people's experience, that they've really never really had a period that it wasn't fun, or do you think that that's unique about you?
I think it could go both ways. I've definitely seen people get super caught up in performance and numbers and results. So that's kind of their motivating factor. And so when they don't perform, it could either motivate them to train more or kind of give up. But I've seen people kind of overtrain themselves and just lose the fun in the sport where they ride too much and they don't see results and it just becomes less fun. They're only riding to see themselves perform, which isn't necessarily a bad thing all the time, but I think it can be if you lose sight of what is fun. And so when you do that, it can lead to burnout pretty easy.
What's like the closest you've ever been to burning out? Have you ever like flirted with that at all, or has that never really been something you've experienced?
Um, I've definitely thought about it before. Like, oh no, am I burning out? Like, is this too much? I don't want to ride today. Is that a bad thing? And I don't think it necessarily is because we all go through that. And then I think about like how I'm never going to sell my bikes unless I buy a new one. I'm never going to just going to get rid of bikes in my life. I'll be riding bikes the rest of my life. And so I don't think it's ever got too serious for me. But there have been times where I worry that I get too caught up in training, especially like before my mission when I was a junior. I loved it, but sometimes I was worried that I was gonna train too much or wanna train too much and then burn out. Luckily, I had good coaches that just were able to motivate me to keep fun in sight, and so it never was a problem. So yeah.
It's interesting to me that like it sounds like cycling is a super ingrained part of your life. And you're talking about like, you know, results are great, but there's something else about cycling that you just absolutely love. But then you went 2 years without riding your bike. Like that's incredible. How was that hard, or am I kind of understanding that wrong?
No, yeah, that was definitely hard. Serving a mission, you definitely have to leave things behind that you love. And so I got to see bikes. I thought about bikes every single day. I thought about getting home and riding my bike and training and racing again, just because that's what I had done for so long. And it's just something that I love. And so on a mission, you stay pretty busy, which was super helpful not to just think about bikes all the time and feel sorry for myself that I wasn't able to ride and stuff like that. But it was hard being away for so long, especially while I was in Texas, because it's still the States. And so people are kind of the same. You get to see nice bikes and cool bikes. And luckily in Texas, there's not a ton of mountain biking, just kind of rolling hills, and it's not as big there, at least in San Antonio. Lots of road biking. But you stay busy enough to where you can kind of focus on other things, and but it still was hard to be away for so long. But it kind of rebuilt the fire in a way. I was just super excited to for when I got back to ride again.
Yeah, absence kind of made the heart grow a little fonder there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the next question I would want you to talk about for a second is what's the biggest disappointment you ever had to deal with as a cyclist?
The biggest disappointment.
Yeah, the biggest disappointment, and how did you cope with it?
That's a good one. I'm trying to think. I think my biggest, I'm still trying to think of what my biggest disappointment was, but what my biggest fear of disappointment would be is was burnout. I would be super disappointed if I burnt out. So that was always a fear. Let's see. I remember, I think it was 2019. So I was racing age 17. So I jumped up to 17, 18 to the UCI category. And in 2018, I had a pretty good year. I had no sponsors. I didn't have a coach. But I had pretty good results. And so going into 2019, I had sponsors, I had a coach, I was doing the big races, I had super good support all around, and I had a pretty good winter of training. And I remember at Bonelli was a pretty tough race. I wasn't, let's see, we raced XDO first and then short track on Sunday. And both days were pretty rough. First race of the season, you never know how it's going to go, but that was a pretty big disappointment. The year before at Bonelli, I was like eighth or something like that. And then jumping up categories and a year later, like no UCI points. I was super far back. Didn't feel good, just didn't have it. Those guys were way too fast. And short track on Sunday. I didn't even get a finish. I just got pulled. That was a big disappointment. I was pretty upset with that. So that was one of those times I very specifically remember finishing the race and being pretty upset. And my dad was like, "Well, if you're not having fun, we can totally do something else. We can do any other sport you want." And that was kind of hard to hear. He meant it from his heart, but I do remember thinking, "Okay, I got to figure this out, not be disappointed, come back from it, have fun, know that in, I think that year's a week or two until the next race at Bay Lake, that I could rebound and try again." And so being able to cope with it that way, just know that, I mean, sometimes you just got to leave it behind. Know that it'll be better. You can do better. Try again in the future. That's kind of how I dealt with that.
I'm interested, what do you think is your most pronounced skill, like specifically as a racer or as a cyclist? Like what's the perfect race situation where you're going to win every time?
It definitely was my descending skills, but nowadays everyone's been able to figure out descending pretty good. While I was a junior, I definitely felt like that was one of my skills. Now I've fallen more average in that category. But if we're talking like the dynamics of a course and everything, I think I'm more suited for punchy or strategic racing. Technical course. Always did super good at Soldier Hollow. Steep up, steep down, A lines, B lines. Still some places where it's like flat power, you got to push. Kind of stuff like that is what suits me best.
How do you beat Gabe Gorda? What's your most pronounced shortcoming as a bike racer?
Oh no, I'm supposed to tell this to the public.
You can lie, I don't know.
I don't know. That might be a better question for someone else that's beat me. I would say, I hate to admit it, but I'm definitely stronger in the first part of the race. I've learned that about
Okay.
myself the last year. I don't know exactly what it is. I still have yet to figure it out. It might just be as simple as a pacing strategy, but like, or I also think it's kind of mental, but I usually fall apart towards the last bit of a race, depending on the race.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think a lot of it could be mental. Like, whether it's a 3 hour race or a 6 hour race on the same day, I might fall apart on the last 20 minutes of the race, 30 minutes of the race.
So
So.
you're basically just saying you're normal, right? Because I think that's when I think most people kind of fall apart, right? Like,
Wasn't it like the reason I asked is I've ridden with you on and off, like not I mean not a ton, but like for going way back, like I don't know that we've ever raced because I'm a little older than you, so we never like bumped into Ica. But I'm like I can't think of like a weakness that you have. I've seen you do really long stuff and crush it, and really short punchy stuff and crush it. I think you could technically, what's like the worst race, what's the worst race course for you? And then the worst conditions, like hot or cold, bad weather, or is it all just kind of water off your back? You don't care. You could kind of win in any circumstance.
That's also a good question. First off, thank you. I'm definitely not that good of a racer. You're talking me up a little bit, but I think I do better in worse conditions. Like if it's super rainy or muddy or super hot or super cold, I think that might suit me a little better. Rather than just like a normal perfect day, but I don't really know exactly. Remind me what the first part of your question was again.
Like any particular race course where you were like, oh shoot, this is on the calendar,
Oh,
this
okay.
course, I hate this course.
Yeah, Joe asks
Yeah.
long questions, so.
No, you're good. Probably flatter, not flat, but like not as punchy courses. Kind of smoother, constant power. I feel like I can do that. I'm not like a huge, I'm bigger for a climber in cycling. I'm not like a huge guy, but if you're to compare me to a world tour climber like Sepp Kuss, I'm a big dude. But I still feel like I'm better at that short, punchy stuff rather than Powder Mountain keeps coming to mind. It's just like a super consistent, flat-ish course. It's climby, but it's smooth and constant power. I've always done pretty good there, so it's not a great example. But a course like that, maybe no technical skills involved. Gravel races, for example, like a few weeks ago at Truget Gravel, I had a pretty good race. I felt good. But I would get smashed in the flat or just ever so slightly inclined parts of the course. Through like the punchy stuff, me and Sam Sweetser, we did super good. We dropped a couple guys through that section, but then got caught as soon as the course got kind of flat again. And so I think like that roadie power where you can just hold the same power for like an hour on a flat road is one of my weaknesses for sure.
I hate those guys that can just do that. Because I was always
I
kind of
know.
punchy in Nika too. But like Vernal, I don't know if you ever did Vernal out in Nika, but like that
Yeah.
course too, just like flat. You can't like there's no differentiation on the descents. You can kind of there's sort of a speed limit with the corners, you know, like.
A
And
little
then there's
bit,
those
yeah.
guys who can just kind of flip on the power and just like, you know, live at 5 watts per kilo on a flat forever. It's just awful,
Yeah.
but. No, but I was saying, like, I remember doing, like, do you remember Braden Johnson's birthday ride? Like, where he did,
Yep.
like, that huge. Yeah, I was like, it was like, I've seen this guy do, like, short track and stuff. This guy has one of the best sprints out there. And we're, like, 8 hours into this ride, and he's just crushing these, like, watt per kilo clubs. And again, like, you know, like, against, like, these shorter, you know, super lightweight guys. Like, yeah, I've always admired like well-rounded people, like, and I'm stepping all over your questions, Dan. I'm kind of fanboying here, but
Yeah, I keep steering it back to the main topic, and then Joe's like, "So what's your favorite kind of water bottle?" And
yeah.
so no, yeah, so not kind of steer things back a little, because kind of the whole what I really wanted to pick Gabe's brain on, because he's had so much experience, he's been exposed to some really top level athletes, he's probably seen some come, some go. Really talented people kind of coming and going. And I just kind of wanted to, and a thing is too, is a lot of kids these days have this fear of burning out. Like I know a lot of kids that won't try because they don't want to burn out. Like they, and so like, what are your thoughts on that? You know, like how do you achieve, you know, become the best cyclist that you can be and work hard and work towards goals and so forth and avoid burning out. You know what I mean? How do you have the best of both worlds? What would you say about that?
The first thing that comes to mind for that question is letting go of, I'm trying to think of the right wording. Like, if you have a goal, like, it's super important to set sub goals and reach for that goal. That's what I do. But it's not the end of the world if you don't reach that goal. If you have a big goal for 1 year, and you set goals throughout the whole year to try and reach that main goal, you can't let yourself down. You can't be so upset if you don't reach that goal, if that makes sense. So I've kind of taught myself that. Like, I'll go into a race, whatever happens, happens. Like, if I want a good result, whatever happens, happens. Like, last year at Crusher, it was super stacked. It's a lifetime event now. I'd never done it. The course didn't necessarily suit me, especially compared to the guys that I was racing against. My fitness was pretty good going into it, but I'd let go of, like, I wanted like a top, I don't remember, like a top 30, something like that, top 25. And I was like, whatever happens, happens. If I finish in 50th or 200th, it's whatever. And so that race, I broke a chain. My master link didn't work. And so I spent like 45 minutes in a feed zone trying to get a hold of my parents to come pick me up. And I just jerry-rigged like a 10-speed cam C-Link onto my Eagle drivetrain, and it wasn't perfect, but it worked, and I got to the finish. And it was kind of a bummer that that had to happen, but at the end of the day, I was like, that's okay. Like, point to points in a couple months, there's always something where you can improve on in the future. And so I think just knowing that if you don't reach your expectations or anyone else's expectations, that's okay. At the end of the day, it's just getting out and being on your bike, and everyone's idea of fun and everyone's goals can be different, but you don't have to be so hard on yourself.
So you think a lot of it just comes down to kind of maybe the types of goals you set. And then this is just kind of what I'm hearing is that you seem like you're really more into to the process, and the results may or may not happen, but you seem to really be into the pro, because you mentioned earlier that you just love training and you feel bad, almost guilty. Somewhat obsessive if you can't get out and train. And I'm the same way too. I mean, I love training way more than racing. Racing is just something that you just kind of have to do, you know? But I'm just kind of hearing a lot about like kind of more process goals, and rather than like, you know, having your goal be to be the Nike state champ, and you work, you know, your parents spend all kinds of money and you work all season long to do that, and you show up to state and you break a chain and your calf cramps and all this bad stuff happens. You know, that could be devastating and kind of sends one person into kind of a spiral. But it sounds like maybe you not so much. You know, you seem to focus more on the process. Am I kind of understanding things right there, would you say?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's just for me, in my mind, it's always been so hard. Like, yeah, like if you were to set a goal to win this race, like I've done that before, but it's hard because there's so many uncontrollable variables in a race that you just that can make or break a race that you just don't know if it's going to happen or not. And so for me, like, I wanted to win a state championship. And so you can work to have as clean of a race as possible, and you can work to have good fitness, but at the end of the day, you still can't control everything. So it's not the worst thing if you can't win a race. Like, I mean, Keegan has definitely figured out how to have a really good race every race, no mechanicals and things like that. And so you can work towards those things, but it's still really hard to avoid like every mechanical or every cramp or mastering your nutrition or your fitness going into every race or making sure your legs feel great. All those things, there's just so many hard things to either master or control that it was hard for me to set very specific goals. I still would. But kind of going back to what you said, the way I'd measure it wasn't necessarily on if I fulfilled that goal, but kind of where I was at personally in a way too. Like if I wanted to win a race and say I didn't, I'd still kind of retrace back to how far I've come and if I was still capable of achieving that goal. Like if I had a perfect day, where could I have finished at this race or something like that?
Okay, that's my next question. Like when you think back to your kind of like your Nike racing days, the guys you raced against, and even in some of the national races you did, the guys that are still doing it, what do you think they all have in common that's kind of kept them in the sport as opposed to those that left the sport?
For those that are still in the sport,
They're
I'd
still
definitely say,
racing.
yeah, I'd say they all had drive, motivation to either see results or just get out and ride. I know a lot of, I have a lot of friends that I raced with like in high school and went to high school with that they still ride just because they love riding. They don't race anymore, which is totally fine, but they just get out and ride for fun. But I also know people that still race and are motivated to train and race and see results. So something common among those two types of people is they know, I feel like they didn't let go of how important it was to them. For me, like cycling's done so much, and so I'll never let go of it. And I think that's kind of common among all those guys too. I think a lot of those people that still are in it are able to see what makes it fun for them. I think they're motivated by having fun or whatever it is they're motivated by, kind of recirculates. So for example, like if I'm motivated by my personal progress, if I see personal progress in my training, then I'm going to want to train more. And so whatever it is that motivates you, it seems like a lot of those people are able to kind of just spiral upwards and not want to stop. If I don't know if that makes sense, but
Oh yeah,
It's
I mean,
interesting to me that you say, like, I will never give this up. It's like, I don't think I'd ever give this up. I really like it. Like, there's no part of you that thinks, like, well, you know, I'll do this, but then there's a chance that maybe, you know, because like we talk about a big milestone, you're like getting married here soon. You know, like getting married, starting a family, whatever it is you're gonna do career-wise, that you just don't, do you see a future where you don't ride bikes?
There definitely might be a time, like, I mean, this summer I've let go of like my two big races that I'm signed up for right now are Crusher and Point to Point. One of them's a couple weeks, like a few weeks before the wedding, and one of them's a few weeks after. And so we have the whole summer that we have to plan it too. So right now I'm like, whatever happens, happens. I have no idea how much I'm going to be able to ride. It's going to be kind of busy. And so surely the rest of my life, there's going to be times, maybe years, where it'll be hard to ride. Life's going to be busy. I might have to work a ton, provide for family, whatever it is. But it'll definitely, cycling will always be in my life. It always has been. And I've seen like my parents, sometimes they still ride. Sometimes life gets busy, they're not able to ride, but they always get out for a date night ride, like at least once a week in the summer. And so I've seen how important it is, at least to my family. And I'm sure you guys can relate a lot to that too. But I've accepted the fact that there will be times where it will be hard to ride and I might not be able to train and race. But whatever it is, I'll still get out and have fun, ride with my family, whatever it is. So.
Yeah, definitely a common theme I'm kind of hearing, and we've talked about this in the past before, is it's just about motivation. And you know, we did a whole podcast on the self-determination theory, and I thought that was super interesting. But so much of it just comes down to why you do this, you know, and if you do it because it's something you truly love and it makes you happy and brings you joy, then I think continuing it's a lot easier than if you're just doing it for, you know, more external reasons or, you know, because sometimes those are kind of more fickle. But, you know, your internal motivation and your why, I think definitely can keep you going longer. I think that's super important. I think that's something we'll definitely talk about more in the future. But, another question I want to ask is what as a club can we do to make this sport more sustainable, like to help our athletes become lifetime athletes? What can we do better to help encourage that?
Yeah, that's a super good question. Maybird has always been the club that I've wanted to be a part of. like those couple years as a junior where I was racing more national races and I was on Summit and Bear. I always told myself when I get the chance, I'm going to ride with Maybird. And so the last year and this year, I've had the chance to work with you guys, work as a coach and race in a kit and those things. And I've always just seen you guys as the club that has fast kids and you can see results, but also has fun. I've never met someone that's not courteous on the trails, that's wearing a Maybird kit. That's not nice. Everyone on Maybird is just a great example, a great someone to show that they just love cycling. And so what you guys are doing to me is what I would say. I think you guys have helped graduated like high school students that still want to ride help a lot. Like there's a lot of younger coaches like me on the team that help lead out rides and things like that. I think that's huge. I think the big epic rides that you do throughout the summer and even starting now are huge too. Just getting whoever wants to come plan a big ride and just get out and have fun. I think helping people understand that sometimes it might take, for me at least, reevaluating how I see things, maybe my goals, my perception on cycling, whatever it is, just to realize why I do it, what's the main reason that I ride bikes. And I think you guys have helped a lot of people see that too. Just being able to get out with some good friends and enjoy riding bikes. So,
Wow, that's
well,
like, dude, that means a lot. Thank you. And I think Dan and I agree that like we always talk like with this team that like we don't want people to be like us because we want them to be fast. But like, you know, I was like, oh, we want to make more Drew Freeze or whoever, you know, these like kind of local pro guys or just good examples of the like sticking in cycling, performing your best, or whatever. And you're definitely one of those people. So
thank
I think, you know, it'll take a while for us to be able to grade, but if we can be churning out more kind of Gabe Norta types. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Dan? That's kind of like what we're trying to do.
Oh, you know what? Like every time I see Gabe Norta wearing a Maybird kit, I kind of have to pinch myself because it's just, I mean, it'd be like seeing Michael Jordan wearing a Maybird kit, you know, to play basketball. That was a really bad analogy, but
Never
you know,
know.
I
You never know.
thank you.
We are good at bad analogies here, but yeah. And I say it all the time. I'm like, you know, if our riders can turn out like Gabe, then this program's a huge success, you know, 'cause he's like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's insanely fast. I don't know how he gets so fast. There's probably a lot of secrets that would fill a whole series of podcasts there, but you know, he just fits so many of the Maybird values, and I just can't say enough nice things about him. But Gabe, there's a question I kind of like to ask everybody, and I want to pick your brain on this for a second. For someone that just wants to be the best cyclist they can be, the fastest cyclist they can be, what do you think is the key? Or is there like a secret that the pros know that we don't know? Or what do you think is the secret to just being the best athletes that we can be?
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you. I appreciate all the praise and good things you've said. But I'd say something super common among the fastest guys that I've ridden with and had the privilege of meeting is definitely their work ethic. All the top cyclists, and it probably goes with most other sports too, but especially while I was on Bear, there were some super fast kids. I mean, going back to this weekend, Riley Amos and Bjorn Riley were 1 and 2 in a World Cup, and being able to work with guys like them, seeing their work ethic, and their no excuses mindset, like people like that just work. They set goals and they work and do whatever they can to achieve those goals. They make no excuses. they do what they can to make time for cycling in their lives. They train hard. They listen to their body. If they're not feeling good, I think having a coach can be pretty beneficial. Not always the answer. I think being able to, I don't know, for me, it always just comes back to that hard work, the work ethic. I think a huge misconception among a lot of people is like natural talent. A lot of those people, there's natural talent for sure, but that's not what makes them fast. I think everyone has their own talent in their own way, whatever it may be. But I think at the end of the day, anyone can stand on the top of a podium. It might take months or years or decades to get there. But I think if you work hard and set goals, you can get there. That's just the main theme that I've seen amongst those top guys.
That's actually really good, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and just about just kind of the body we're dealt with, and how much of this is just natural talent versus how much can our hard work pay off eventually. And it sounds like you believe that it can, and I think that that's really important, and I hope that the kids listening heard that, because I truly believe that anyone listening to this could win an elite I Cup at least someday. That we all have decent enough bodies that we have potential to be better than most of the population at riding bikes. If and it might take some people more work than others, and I'm one of those. Like almost my tagline is I have to work really hard to be mediocre, but I enjoy doing it. It's something I love to do, and but I think that's excellent. I'm really glad that you said that. Really appreciate it. So
Of course. Thank you.
really quick, Nate, before, I don't know if Dan, you had planned to do this, and I don't know if you're like looking, if you have like room, but I do want to plug that you're doing some coaching, right?
Yeah, I have right now. I'm coaching a few Maybird athletes. I'm not like a certified coach or anything like that. I'm not a exercise science major. It's just something that I like to do. I like to help out kids from mainly just the experience that I've had in the past. So
Well, if anybody wants to throw Gabe, throw a few bucks Gabe's way, I don't know if you have like availability, but I did, want to make
yeah,
this
for
somewhat
sure.
worth your time.
Yeah.
Hit up Gabe. I can't imagine, that like Gabe's gonna give you bad advice. It's good, I think, that you say that you're not an expert, but I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I think you've been through the school of hard knocks in the sport. Like,
Thank you.
like, I don't know if you're gonna coach like a World Cup athlete, but holy smokes, dude. If I was lined up next to a guy and he was like, oh yeah, Gabe Norton's coaching me, I'd be like, dang, that sucks for the rest of us, man. So wanted to pitch that. How many athletes are you coaching right now?
Right now I think about 10,
Oh my
wow,
gosh. That's a lot, dude. That's like a
maybe
whole
like eight or
business.
nine. I don't remember exactly, but
I'd say Miles Baker, coaching him counts as like coaching three, though, too. No, just kidding.
Oh
He's
yeah.
fast. He's a good
Well,
kid.
no, he was telling me the other day that he's like, yeah, I just take whatever Gabe tells me and I just add an hour to
Perfect. There
it.
you go, Miles. 10 out of 10.
That was pretty funny. Well, Gabe, thanks so much for your time. This is such a huge honor for us. And thanks again for all you do for, I think it's cool how you're paying back to these kids, and hopefully they'll be someday be able to be like a mentor like you are, and just kind of keep paying everything forward. And I do appreciate all you do, and good luck with your marriage, and hopefully your wife's okay with you riding your bike. Has she been warned?
She's been warned. Yeah, she
Okay.
knows.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, that's good, man. Dude, thanks so much again. Congratulations one more time, dude. Getting married is awesome. Anybody who tells you that it's not is doing it wrong. And like cycling, if I, give you a little bit of advice, man, like get out and ride as much as you can. I got out with Tessa for the first time of the season last night, and it's the best, dude. So, congratulations on your future ride partner for life.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, man, look forward to the rest of the season, seeing you crush it. And yeah, if anybody has any questions, chuck them our way. We'll have some more exciting guests for you guys moving forward. Weather looks pretty decent, at least in the tail end of this week. So everybody get out and ride, be safe, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Okay, have fun.
Thank you, guys.